Hi, everyone. I'm Tim. I'm from the Cal Actuarial League. And for those of you who are exploring future career options, actuaries are consistently ranked top three careers in the country. And it would be just really cool if you guys can check it out. Our first general meeting is next Wednesday. It's at 7:30, 26 EVLSB. And I'll be passing out flyers right now. Thank you.
Okay. So before I get started, does anyone have any logistical questions about anything going on? I know this has been a lot going on in sections. I guess you don't have a section today, but any questions about anything logistical? Okay, so today I'm lecturing on the handout that I posted on BSpace. This is on summation notation, so it's outside of the book. It's a little bit mathy, more so than most of the stuff that's in the book. So I think people come in with different backgrounds, so some people may have seen summation notation to some extent, so it may be kind of review. I think the thing I'll end up with, even if the beginning of the lecture seems very familiar, I think the stuff towards the end will be a little bit different than the way you've thought about summation before. Okay, any questions before I get started? Okay, so just to introduce the idea of summation. Summation is a notation that I think at first seems unnecessarily complicated and maybe messy. And I think a lot of people, when they see things that are written in this way, your eyes sort of gloss over, and you try to find somewhere else on the page, something else on the page you can understand. But I think once you get used to thinking about summation notation, it is pretty useful and pretty powerful for solving some sorts of problems. So that's why I'm doing it. That's why I added it to what we're doing, apart from what's in the book. So if we just to sort of start out as notation, this is like a list of numbers. X1, X2, X3, they're just like variables X and Y, except that we have particular values, and we may or may not know what they are. Okay, so I'll maybe make this up to N. So this is a list of N values, or N numbers. And this notation allows us to kind of deal with that list of numbers without knowing what they are, basically. So we can deal with it in sort of an abstract way. So, for example, if your list of numbers is 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, you might actually know what they are, but you could also think about them in this notation as being like x1, x2, x3, x4, x5. Okay. And then if we wanted to add them up, then we would use what's called summation notation. If we wanted to write down a way to add them up without maybe knowing what they are. So that notation is this. This is the capital Greek letter sigma, and it's used in math to say, basically, I'm going to add up a bunch of things. Okay, the sigma for, sort of the Greek S, so it means sum. And the things that I'm going to add up are things that look like this. So this is X with an I as a subscript, which the I is meant to be kind of a further level of, like, I don't know what this is. So the X sub I means there's some variable X, whatever it is, and this is, you can think of this as one particular number in your list, but you don't sort of know which one. It's the ith one in general, okay? And so then to finish up the notation, the usual way to write this is that, or to write it and to read it, is that you're adding up these things, starting with I equals 1. So the first item in this list is going to be when I equals 1, so that'd be x sub 1. And then you're going to stop when you get up to n. So literally, if you were to write this out longhand, the first item in your sum is x1, and then you're adding up a bunch of things, however many there are, up to n. So the value of n may be either known or unknown. Okay. You may know, for example, that list has 5 numbers in it. So you would think about this as a sum I equals 1 to 5. So you want to think about that. If we have those 5 numbers there, that's just another way of writing this. 1 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 7. So the first item in the list is x1, which is 1. The second item in the list is x2, which is 3, and so forth. Okay? So any questions about that? That much of it? Okay, so that's the idea of using summation notation. We can use it for a lot of things. It's pretty common in statistics that we want to add up a bunch of stuff. So I'll define the average, or write the average, as a sum. I mean, what's the average? You add up a bunch of numbers, divide by how many there are. So you can think about it this way, right? Add up n numbers, divide by n. That's the average. And I'll also introduce a little shorthand for that, which is x bar. So x bar. X bar is the same as saying the average or the mean. Okay? Any questions there? Okay. So maybe I'll write down one more thing that comes up. So far, I've just talked about adding up the numbers. But you can sort of, like, adding up the numbers themselves. You can make this thing that you're adding up as complicated as you want. So, for example, if you want to add up the squared values for some reason, the sum of the squared values is if you, again, write this sum I equals 1 to n. Sorry, this blackboard's all messed up. But sum I equals 1 to n of xi squared. So now, again, you're thinking about this as the sum is telling you that you're going to add up a bunch of things. The things look like this. You're going from I equals 1 to n. So the first item in this list, oops, is x1 squared. The second item is x2 squared, and then you keep going up to xn squared. Okay, questions about that? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about properties of summation, and then I'll move on to doing standard deviation. So I have 3 properties listed on this handout. The first one is what happens if you add up a constant. So I'll just kind of talk through why each of these things on the handout is true. What I mean by adding up a constant is I'm adding up something that doesn't change. So here, in this example with the numbers 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, every time you change the value of I, you change the value of xi. So xi is different depending on what value I has. If you're adding up a constant, you're adding up something that doesn't depend on I. It doesn't change when you change the value of I. So one way to write that is just like this. Just as the letter C, meaning a constant, without any I even written down. Okay? So that means that as I take this sum, right, I'm taking sums of things that look like that, just like here I'm taking a sum of things that look like this. I'm adding things like this, but I'm changing the value of I each time. Well, when I change the value of I, this still looks the same. You still have a C. So this is just C plus C plus C n times. So that's sort of the definition of multiplication, right? If you add up the same number some number of times, that's the value of the number times how many how many times you're adding it up. So that comes out to be c times n. Right? So the idea of, again, the idea of adding a constant, if you add up the constant c n times, it's n times c. Okay, questions about that? Okay. So then the second thing on there is the distributive property. You might remember from algebra or something. So as this relates to sums, what we're talking about is adding up things that look like this. Some constant that doesn't change times some ci, or sorry, xi. And the idea of the distributive property is to think about this, if we think about this just as like a sum of things that look like that, with I changing, the first item in that sum is cx1, cx2, and so on up to cxn. And we could factor a c out of each one of those. So that becomes c times x1 plus all of them, right? Take a c out of every one, and I'm left with x1 and so forth up to xn. And we can write that in summation notation as that regular old sum we started with. Okay. So the idea there is just if you have a constant inside a sum, you can pull it out. So that's what the distributive property is, that if you have a constant times something, you can pull out the constant if you want. Okay? Like real life example might be if you wanted to, I don't know, suppose you had data which was everyone's height in inches, and you wanted to convert everyone's height into centimeters, and you want to take the total. You could convert everyone's heights to centimeters at the start. I guess it's multiplying by 2.54 to convert inches into centimeters. So take everyone's height, convert, multiply by 2.54, and then add them all up. Or you could add them all up in inches and then multiply by 2.54 at the end. So same thing. Okay, so that's that. And then the last one is the commutative property. So the commutative property, and maybe I should have put parentheses on this, on the handout to be completely clear. What I'm talking about here is adding up things that look like this. Okay. So each item in the list looks like that, and we're adding up those things. So, well, I mean, we can just think about this the same way as before. The first item in the list is x1 plus y1. The second item is x2 plus y2 when I equals 2, and so forth. Add them all up. The last term is xn plus yn. And the point of the commutative property is that you can do that sum in a different order. So you could add up all the x's by themselves and then add up all the y's by themselves. So you can write this as sum of all the x's plus sum of all the y's.
Okay.
So you can sort of separate those two things out. So, I don't know, if you wanted to figure out, like, the weights of people plus their shoes or something like that, you could weigh everyone with their shoes off and then also weigh all the shoes. Add those together would be the same as the weights of everyone wearing their shoes. If you want to do something like that. Okay. Any questions about that? Okay. So those are those properties. I want to add one more equation to my... So this average is one equation that you'll use a fair amount. Another one is the standard deviation. And I'm going to give you two equations. The first one is... basically the same as the formula in the book, just written in summation notation. The other one is, I think, mathematically a little bit easier to use, so I'll show that to you. It's for some kinds of problems, it's a lot easier to use. So the formula in the book is the RMS of the deviations from average, right? RMS of deviations from average So if you're taking notes, I think this is a good time to not take notes. Just this one little discussion, and just watch what I do. This formula is on the handout, so you don't need to write it down. So I'm going to kind of build the formula up based on this definition. So what do we do when we actually calculate the SD? The first thing we do is we take the deviations from average. We take each value and subtract off the average. So what that looks like in summation notation is to take the value, subtract off the average. Right? So x bar is the same as the average. So those are deviations from average. And then to take the RMS, if you remember, the first thing I do is to square all those. So I take all these deviations from average and I square them. And then the next step is the M step, to take the mean. And the mean, or the average, is what I get if I add them all up. So summation adds them all up, divide by n. So that's deviation from average, square them, take the mean, and then finally take the square root. Okay, so that's the way the formula looks, that's on your, looks like it's on your handout. So I just want to emphasize that that's exactly the same as taking the RMS of deviations from average. It's just written in this notation. All right? Any questions about that? Okay, so to get the formula for the second, or to get the second formula, is a little bit messy, and the work to do it is, I think, a little bit harder than what I would expect you to do on your own, just because it's kind of hard to see where to go. I think you should be able to understand every step. Every step basically involves one of these properties. But I don't know, anytime I sort of prove something, I don't really typically ask you to prove things, I just ask you to use them. So you should be able to use things and manipulate sums using these properties, but this particular proof I think is a little bit more than I'd expect you to like do on an exam or something. Okay, so the first step is to, the first step of what I'm going to do. So I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. I guess that's part of why this is going to maybe look a little bit weird. I'm just going to kind of play around with this and use some of the properties to try to simplify this and see what happens. So a very common thing to simplify when you see sums where you have some complicated thing here, squares come up a lot. So something you might do if you see something squared is to see what happens if you square it out. So this is equal to still the square root, and I have sum I equals 1 to n. So when I square this out, I get the first thing squared. You could think about this as FOIL, right? First, and then outer, inner, and last. I'm going to kind of combine the, whenever you square something, right, you're going to get plus 2 times the product. So since this is a minus sign, I'm going to get actually minus 2 times xi times x bar. And then the last term is going to just be squared. So minus x bar squared is plus x bar squared. So I have the sum of that whole thing over n. So it doesn't look like it's getting simpler yet. But if I separate these out into different parts, I'm going to use the commutative property, which it's written in terms of two things. I have three things, which is fine. I can still separate it out into three sums. And then this will look like this. Okay, so the first term is sum of xi squared, and then I'll put that with an n. And the second term, I'll do sort of two things at once. When I think about adding up things like that look like that, well, the only thing in here that has an I is this xi. Everything else is a constant, meaning that it doesn't change when I change the value of I. So those are constants I can pull out. So the commutative property says I can separate into three sums, and then that middle sum, I can pull out those constants, right? Minus 2, x bar, and I'm left with sum of xi over n. And then the last sum is adding up a constant, right? So I guess I'll just write it down. I'll just kind of copy it down first. But then next line, you think about what that is, and it's just adding up a constant. So I did sort of two things here. I separated into three sums, and I pulled out the constants of the middle term. So that's using commutative property to separate the sums, and then distributive property to pull out the constants. And this first term, I can't make it any simpler. There's sort of nothing to do there. But this term, I can make it a little bit simpler. Does anyone see what I can do with that? This middle term? Sorry? Yeah, this is x bar, right? Sum of xi over n is x bar. So I have minus 2 x bar squared. And then what's this last term? Well, the last term, adding up a constant n times, so I have n times x bar squared divided by n, right? The top is n x bar squared divided by n gives me plus x bar squared. And so all this algebra, what this is getting me is a little bit of cancellation here. That's sort of the thing that ends up being nice about this, is that I then have sum of x bar squared over n minus 1 x bar squared, right? I have minus 2 x bar squared plus 1 x bar squared, so minus x bar squared. Okay, so that's the second formula. The SD is equal to that. So it might not look a lot simpler, but it is a little bit nicer to use if you actually want to calculate the SD. So here, if you use this formula, you have to first find all the deviations from average and then square them and divide by n, take the square root. Here, it's a little bit easier because you don't have to do that initial manipulation. Either way, you have to find the average before you start. And in this formula, you just start with the values themselves and square them and take the mean and all that. Okay? So let me just, for that, those numbers 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, I'll just use that second formula to calculate it really quick. So I did this on, I guess, Monday. I calculated the SD of this list of numbers. So I'm just going to write it out as one big equation. Inside the square root, the sum of the squares looks like this. 1 squared plus 3 squared plus 4 squared plus 5 squared plus 7 squared over 5 minus, the average of those is 4, you might remember, or you can just calculate it. Okay, so I have that, and this is, so 1 squared is 1 plus 9 is 10 plus 16 is 26 plus 25 is 51 plus 49 is 100. So 100 over 5 is 20, minus 16 is 4, the square root of 4, or 2. Okay? So I don't know if you remember the calculation on Monday, but it was just a little bit slower because I had to calculate all the deviations from average at the beginning. Okay? So this formula is mentioned in a technical note in your book, and it gives you a way also of remembering it. This is the SD is the square root of. So most of the technical notes in the book I ignore. You don't need to know them. Let me write down this formula and I'll answer your question. So square root of the average of the squares minus the square of average. The square root of that whole thing. So that's a way you can maybe remember that formula. Average of the squares minus the square of the average. Average of the squares is that. Square of the average is that. Yeah, question?
How did you get that x bar squared on the top row, the bottom
row? Up here?
Yeah.
This?
Yeah.
So this term is x bar squared plus x bar squared n times. Divided by n.
But there's no i, so in the summation there's no i, so wouldn't the summation be x bar squared?
You still have to add up, it's this adding a constant thing up here. You still have to add it up. It's like if I have 10 people that all have the same height, and I take the sum of their heights, it's 10 times one of their heights, right? I still, even if that value doesn't change, the summation sign still means you're adding something up n times. It's just that the thing that you're adding up doesn't change. Okay. Another way you might imagine, think about that last term, is it's the average, right? this sort of looks like an average, right? You're adding something up and dividing by how many there are. So it's the average of a bunch of things that are all the same. So the average of those things is going to be x bar squared. Right? Okay. All right, so that's that. Any questions about that? Formula? Any of that? Okay. So the any other questions? I didn't really look. Yeah. Can you use a calculator for these type of problems? You can, although I will ask you to always check your show your work. So you should make it clear that you understand how to do it by hand. All right, especially for quizzes and midterms. And the other thing I'll say is, for what I'm about to do, you won't be able to necessarily do it in an automatic way. So SD, I realize a lot of fancy calculators will calculate SD of a list of numbers kind of automatically. That's okay with me, as long as you write down the formula and it's clear that you know what your calculator is doing. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah, you'll have a calculator for quizzes and for any exam. I won't control what calculator you use. It shouldn't be anything to communicate with another human. I think you'll find that the harder part of the class is not the computation; it's the conceptual stuff. So I don't that the computation stuff. I don't know. You'll always have a calculator in real life, so. Okay. All right, so I'm going to do an example, and I'm just going to do it, and then I'll sort of explain as I do it the general method that I'm using, and then I'll kind of go back over it when I'm done with the example. So this example is with made-up data, although it's about right. It's toucan beak length. And suppose we have 12 female toucans, and their average beak length is 20 centimeters, which is about true, and with an SD of 3 centimeters. Oops. Okay. So we have 12 females with an average of 20 and an SD of 3. Suppose one of them flies away. With a beak length of 22 centimeters. And I want to find the average and the SD of the remaining 11. So the average is not too bad. You can do that without really using summation notation. I think to find the SD, it's pretty hard to think about without using summation notation, as you'll see. So the average, we know the average is what you get by adding them all up and dividing by how many there are, right? And we can find out the total of all the 12 pretty easily. So my idea for doing problems like this usually is to write down what I know in summation notation and write down what I want to find out in summation notation. Then I can sort of think about how to get from what I know to what I don't know. So what I know is that, or one thing I know at least, is that the sum of the 12 beak lengths divided by 12, that's equal to 20. What I want is the sum of the 11. Okay? So from this, I can get the sum of the 12. And how can I get from the sum of the 12 to the sum of the 11? Subtract 22, right? There's basically one of these values. I'm considering the 12th one. Ix 12 is equal to 22. So if you want, you could write that down too. You could think that about that as part of what you know. So this is what you know. The other bit of information you know is that the 12th one is 22, basically, right? So then if you know the 12th one is 22, and if you think about just what this says, x1 plus x2 plus x3 up to x12, you can think of that as sum up to x11 plus 22. And then subtract out the 22, and you're left with what you want. All right. So from that statement for the average, I can then find that sum xi equals 1 to 12, xi is equal to 12 times 20, right? Which is 240. So the sum of the 11 is 240 minus 22, or 218. And finally, the average, new average, is the sum of those 11 divided by 11, which comes out to be 19.8. So maybe I should have asked this before I wrote down the answer, but how can you tell that it's going to go down? If I didn't tell you the answer, I just said at the beginning, is it going to go up or down? Yeah.
The bird that left had a beak length higher than the average.
Yeah, the bird that left was above average. So after that bird leaves, the remaining birds are going to be a little bit lower than average, lower than the original average. Okay. So let's get the SD too. Maybe I'll write down what I know here at least. That's relevant for the SD. So. The thing I know is that the SD is 3. So I'll write down that SD using that second formula over there. And you'll hopefully see that that's easier to use, or see why it's easier to use. Okay, so this is the original group of 12, so they have an average of 20. And an SD of 3. All right, so that's what we know. So you maybe sort of notice just casually that this you don't know what the actual XI values are. You don't know what all the beak lengths are. But based on this equation, you could solve for the sum of the squares if you wanted to, right? Everything else is just numbers. But there's this thing here, the sum of the squared values. You could get that from what you know. And again, you know that, just like there, you know that the 12th one is a 22. So what you want is basically the same formula, but for the 11. And what am I going to subtract here in this formula? Yeah, I've used 19.8 squared here, right? This is the standard deviation of those 11 birds. So this has to be the average of those 11. So what I need here to figure this out is the sum of the squared of the 11. So this is actually very much like the first problem in the sense that there's this thing I know, and I know the 12th value. The 12th value in this sum is 22 squared. And if I subtract off the 22 squared from this sum, I get this sum. Right, so this really pretty similar problems, although I think the average feels easier. Okay. So that first one, I need to solve for the sum of the squares. So let me do that. I guess I'll do, well, let me just do, I'll just square both sides for my first step. Keep it simple. Okay, so all I did was square both sides. I got rid of the square root on the left side, and I have 3 squared on the right side. And now I'll basically kind of throw all the constants over there. So first thing I do is add 20 squared, and then multiply by 12. So all that comes out to be, it's 4908. Yeah, 4908. And so now I can solve for the sum of the 11. Right, that's 4908 minus, the 12th squared value is 22 squared. So that comes out to be, I didn't write that down. That, once you do all that and divide by, so let me just plug it in. I'll just do it. Let's see, it's 22 squared is 484. So it's 4908 minus 484, which is, 4424? Get that right? Oh, 8 and 1, yeah. Okay. So then the answer, the new SD, is square root of 4424 divided by 11 minus 19.8 squared. Do you think it's going to go up or down? It's a little bit of a harder question, I think, than the first one. Do you think the SD will be bigger than 3 or smaller than 3? Bigger? Anyone want to say why? It is a little bit bigger. Yeah. That's basically right. Is that if a bird goes away that's close to the average, then the remaining birds tend to be a little bit farther from the average. It's a little bit more complicated than that because the average changed, right? The 19.8 changed. So the deviations from 19.8 are not quite the same as the deviations from 20. But that's certainly the right idea. If a bird close to the average leaves, then it's going to tend to increase the standard deviation. Any questions, thoughts about that? I just want to kind of build your intuition about what SD is measuring. Okay, excuse me. So that comes out to be 3.1. And I think I have time for one more. Yeah. Okay. So this next problem is slightly more involved. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I want to talk for a minute or two about what I did here. It's pretty common for summation problems, for all summation problems, for you to think about the hard part of most of the summation problems you'll see is that you need to somehow solve for some sum of squared things and use it, do something to it maybe, play with it a little bit to get some other sum of squared terms that you don't know. So this one's relatively simple in that the difference between these two things is fairly clear, right? There's just one bird difference. So that one bird goes away, so you subtract off that squared value. Subtract off the 22 squared to get the new sum of squares. This next one's a little bit messier, and some of them end up being messier than this as well. Suppose we have further example, we have 18 male toucans. And their beak length has an average of 23 with an SD of 4. And suppose we take our original 12 females and add the 18 males. So they join original 12 females. And I want to find the average in the SD of all 30. And maybe before I start, I'll make one more comment about this problem, which is that I hope you can see that using the second formula is a lot easier because it isolates this thing, right? This thing that we know here, it isolates that thing we don't know here. If you used the first formula, I guess I erased the first formula, but the original formula, the RMS, the deviations from average, it's a little bit messier because you'd have deviations from average. You wouldn't have this term, but you'd have deviations from average here, and it's a little bit messier to deal with that. Okay, because every single one of the deviations from average is going to change when the overall average changes, and you don't know what the values are. So somehow you can't deal with that. It's not simple to think about the squared deviations from average changing from these 12 to 11, because the 11 change, right? The 11 squared values don't change, but the 11 deviations from average change because the average is changing when you take away that bird. Okay? So that makes it pretty messy to try to deal with if you're thinking about deviations from average in the formula. So whenever you're doing these summation problems, the second formula is going to be much easier to deal with. Okay, so average and SD of all 30. We already know the sum of the 11. So let me actually just write down the new information I have. And I'm going to write this in a way that you won't see very often, which is that I'm not going to start my sum at 1, because what I want to do here is I want to think about the 18 males as being the 13 through 30th toucans, right? Just to avoid having X1 refer to two different things, right? Over here, X1 refers to the first female, and I don't want to write X1 over here for one of the males because then the summation at the end won't really make sense. So what I know then is that if I take a sum of X, so think about this as X13 plus X14 plus so forth up to X30, that's still 18 numbers. Those are the male ones. Divide by 18, and that's going to be 23. And so we know that from that I equals 1 to 30 of the XIs is 18 times 23. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't write that down either. So let's see. I'll just leave it like that. That's 18 times 23. And then we want... sum of I equals 1 to 30 XI over 30, right? We want the average of all 30. Okay. Okay, so then we have these here, and we have the first 12. So we can write this sum. This sum is the sum I equals 1 up to 12 of XI plus sum I equals 13 up to 30 of XI. Right? It's the first 12, sum of the first 12 plus the other 18 divided by 30. And we know each of these things now. So we can find new average is... I guess it was 240 plus 18 times 23, divide all that by 30, and that's going to be 21.6, I think it is. Okay, any questions about that? Actually, let me check that, man. I didn't write down that answer. I wrote down the answer to the... Oh, no, it's 21.8. I did write it down. Sorry, 21.8. Okay, any questions about that? Okay, so that's just the arithmetic there. Then for the SD, we want... Or I guess I'll write down what we know again. What we know is... this, that if we did that, we would get an SD of 4, okay? So this is the same second SD formula for the male birds, and we want same formula but for all 30. So I equals 1 to 30 squared of the xi squared over 30 minus 21.8 squared, okay? And we're basically using the same idea, except that this sum is, instead of having like, well, it's the sum of two sums, right? It's the sum of the first sum of squares, which was 4908 up there for the first 12 of them, and then we need to find it for the second group, which we can get from here. So from this, we have sum I equals 13 to 30 xi squared over 18. Minus 23 squared equals 4 squared. And from that, solving for the sum of the squares, I equals 13 up to 30, xi squared is 4 squared plus 23 squared, and then times 18. Okay. So I'm just solving for this. So I 4 squared plus 23 squared, and then multiply by 18. Okay, so that comes out to be 98.10. All right. So now, ready to finish that up. So I have that overall thing that I want there. New SD is going to be square root of sum of the squares for the first group is 4908 for the females plus 9810 for the males, divide by 30 and subtract off 21.8 squared. Do you think this one's going to go up or down or what? Let me ask you this. Do you think it's going to be less than 3, between 3 and 4, or bigger than 4? Less than 3, between 3 and 4, or bigger than 4? Who says it's going to be less than 3? Between 3 and 4? Bigger than 4? I think this is a hard question, by the way. Does anyone want to say why they think it's going to be one thing or another? Between 3 and 4, or bigger than 4? I think no one said less than 3. Anyone? Just a guess? Well, there's sort of two things going on. I'll just say this really quick. The answer is 3.9. It's pretty close. There's sort of two things going on. One is that, in general, the birds tend to be farther away from 21.8 than they were from their own gender average. So the females tend to be farther away from 21.8 than they were from 20, and the males tend to be farther away from 21.8 than they were from 23. 23 is sort of right in the middle of the males, so the males tend to be closer to 23 than they are to 21.8. So the deviations from average for each bird are going to get bigger. Okay, but 12 of them started out as 3, and 18 of them started out as 4. So it's, I think, a little bit hard to see what's happening, right? Some the deviations from average of 3 for the original females are going to tend to be slightly bigger, but then when you take the RMS of the deviations from average for everybody, you end up getting something, ends up being a little bit between 3 and 4, although pretty close to 4. Okay? All right, just a little quick kind of thought about what's going on in the formulas. Okay, any questions, thoughts? Okay, so that sort of wraps that up. On Monday, I'll start with chapter 8. Okay?